This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to
94.9
FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, change it, point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jam and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it,
on oh, 4 minutes and 4 minutes past midday on Technogaze here on Joy 94.9, where Josh is here pushing the buttons with us.
Woo!
I, of course, am Raina, here again, and somebody who was supposed to be having a bit of a break has popped into the studio to say hello.
What?
It's Mark!
Hello! I just couldn't keep myself away.
Aww.
Why not?
Hello. Why not indeed? You look well rested after a few weeks off this show, I must say.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a break, but you know,
it's nice to be.
I know. Josh, it makes me feel a little bit better than being here and getting, you know, conflicted. I'm like, wait, what do I talk about for an hour about tech?
But
Raina's super organised and has just given me this whole bunch of information to talk about, which is fantastic.
That's really sweet of you to say. And we haven't seen you for a few weeks either.
I've been hiding in my little cave.
Your Joy IT cave.
Before he leaves the other studio, we have to say thanks to Tim Lennox for the lovely Joy news, as always, coming in here and giving up all his time to make the news happen.
Yes. That's right. Everything sounds like it's going to be okay when Tim talks about it.
How else would we know that the Queen sent a tweet?
Yes, an actual honest-to-God tweet. And we will talk about that later on. It's pretty exciting. There's other bits and pieces that have been happening. Facebook's got a new app out called Rooms.
Yes.
Which sounds really interesting.
Kind of takes me back to the 90s and use of certain technologies back then.
Yes. And Avi from of Hide and Seek fame came in with a little bit of news. Actual hoverboards, you guys. They are real and you can get one. Hoverboards.
I want to pre-order one. I just don't know where.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about where and how you can do that later.
What's Avi's normal thing about it? Throw money at it. Just throw money at it. I want one.
Shut up and take my money, I think is the quote. Yes.
That's exactly right. And some new security flaws found in Samsung's security features for corporates.
Yay.
Also in the show, iOS 8.1 is out, so Yay. We're going to talk a little bit about what's new with that. Some of us might know a little bit more about it than others, wouldn't we, Josh?
May or may not have jumped the fence and gone from one particular brand to another, but we'll talk about it a bit later.
It's like Bizarro World in here. Mark is rocking a Windows PC at the moment.
I'm sorry, Steve.
I have an Android phone on me. I'm sorry, Steve.
That's weird.
And Josh has returned to the fold.
I've come back to Apple.
Every device in front of Josh is an Apple device, actually.
I know. It's
except the panel. Can you imagine if Apple made radio gear? That would be so good.
It'd be a single
just
button.
Sending out mind waves to Apple. We want radio gear.
Yes, please invent something. Now, if you want to get in touch with us at any time today, you can do that. 1-300-JOY-949 is the number to call. Lovely Mushin is there at the front desk waiting to hear from you. You can send us a text. 0427-JOY-949 is the number. Or send us an email on air at joy.org.au. And you know what? You can find us on social media.
Yes, you can.
Make like the Queen and get on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Technogaze, TechnoGazE.
That's
it. Hey, if the
Queen. Make like which Queen?
Make like. Yeah, I was about to say, there are a lot of Queens around here. Which one are we talking about?
It is Joy 94.9 right here. Of course, you can find us on Facebook as well. And a very special hello to our latest Facebook page followers, both of whom were anonymous.
Can you do that with Facebook?
You can. You can like something, but you can't reveal who you are.
Ooh.
Pretty amazing.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know you could do that.
Speaking of how to be invisible, there is an invisibility cloak on the way.
What?
Yes. This is like sci-fi land, right? We've been talking about hoverboards.
Perfect for if you're a Harry Potter fan, you could...
Exactly. Exactly.
Get this.
Yep. So or if you're on your hoverboard so that no one can hear coming because there's no moving parts to hear, and then you put your invisibility cloak over.
Yes.
Right. Not only can you be a super cool ninja type, but but you can do it really quickly, I guess.
Wow. So Halloween's coming up. How do I get one?
Probably not straight away. So some scientists at the University of Rochester in New York have found a way to disguise things using inexpensive and readily available lenses.
Mm.
So you can probably put one together if you can find a suitable lens shop. I don't think Specsavers or whatever will cut it. It looks kind of like a big monocle and it makes things behind it invisible.
So it's one big lens? Is that how it works? Or sort of is it multiple?
Yeah, kind of.
Because that's the whole thing with invisibility cloaks is the way that they work typically is to refract light, I think is the right term.
Yeah, so bend light around the object that's being hidden. So whatever is shining through light from the background can proceed through these lenses and head out the other side without you blocking it, basically.
It just goes via a sort of a path that's not a typical light path of straight ahead.
Right. And aside from Josh's Halloween costume, which sounds amazing, you can also use this. You can do it a few different things. So one of the proposed ideas that they have is for medicine, so they can actually see what they're working on, if you're a surgeon, without your hands getting in the way.
Oh.
Right, because as you know, there are a lot of body parts that are quite little, right? And you don't want to, you know, you've obviously got to work on them with your hands and tools and all that stuff, and there's, you know, tubes and things that are in the way. And
I could imagine the military uses would
love
be,
that.
Yes.
But it's like everything with the military is, you know, they'll throw the money at it, which then enables a lot of other uses to come into those.
Private enterprise.
Private enterprise, you know.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Which,
exactly. Yeah. Speaking of throwing money, I'm full of segues today. This is almost as cool as the Segway. In fact, I think it is cooler than the actual Segway, by the way. Oh, stop that. Oh, Josh found the soundboard. Guys, hoverboards.
Yes.
They're real. They're a thing.
I want one.
Avi sent this to our TechnoGaze user group, Avi from Hide and Seek, going, oh, my God, you guys. That was pretty much his entire commentary for it.
So how does it work? Does it involve, like, hovering above a surface that's predetermined?
Yeah,
like,
sort of.
Can you do it anywhere? Like, can I just hoverboard down the street?
Well, it probably makes sense to talk about who's making it first and then how they got there. So it's this company called Hendo, and they're making a Hendo hoverboard, which you can sort of actually put on I guess, most kind of surfaces.
Right.
And it uses some trickery with magnets. And I'm not a physicist or anything, so I didn't really understand it when they explained it. But you know, like when you hold two magnets together and they kind of repel each other?
Yeah.
But they can't stay that way. They're not stable.
Yes.
They figured out a way to make that a bit more stable.
Wow.
I want to read the first line here. All right. So all in capitals, just for those at home. It says, guys, it's an actual hoverboard with four hover engines.
Hover engines, quote, quote.
Quote, quote.
Yeah, they're like these sort of panels that... So the hoverboard itself, it's, you know, it's sort of... it's sort of skateboard shaped. It's got four sort of little pads, and it's a Kickstarter. So if you just jump on your favorite search engine and look for Hendo hoverboard, you can find it there. And part of this Kickstarter, so they obviously want a bunch of money to produce these things. Now, if you want an actual hoverboard, you're going to have to have been one of the first 10 people to buy into the reward for getting one.
Probably a bit too late to get into it.
They got snapped up.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They're already well and truly over their funding target of $250,000. They've still got 2 months to go. So I think they're going to be okay for cash.
Yeah.
But you can actually get a thing called a white box, which is like it has the same sort of little engines in it, but it's just a little sort of desktop-sized box that you can have a fiddle with.
Right.
And then you can put other things on it, or you can even get cardboard skins for it, so you can dress it up to look like a school bus or, I don't know, a furry creature. I'm not sure.
It's still pretty cool. Like, you look, Back to the Future was set in, well, Back to the Future 2, when we saw the hoverboard, set in 2015.
Yes.
It's next year. We're going to have a hoverboard by next year.
We're going to have a hoverboard by next year.
Thank you, Marty McFly and the Doc. Like, you know,
Now, where's the time machine?
Their lawyers told them not to play up that connection, but they're releasing it on the 21st of October, which is the actual date that the movie happened. Their lawyers said that, but their lawyers haven't told us to not talk about Back to the Future 2. Oh, my God.
Dust off the DeLorean. This is it.
This is it. Oh, my God. Can you imagine getting one of those white boxes and, like, making a little cardboard DeLorean? Or, like, I don't know, or get a little toy Marty McFly and, you know... A little baby.
Set. That's it. We're set.
Yeah. Now, you can get a few different sort of rewards as well. So you've got you've got like a, you know, your T-shirts and stickers and all that sort of usual thing. Yeah, but one of the cool things, you can actually get your name engraved in a brick, which will be used in their hover park, which is a special skate park just for their...
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a pilgrimage happening right now.
That's like, pretty amazing.
Like, I need to go to this place.
I think a outside broadcast from Hoverboard Central.
I wonder if the magnets will cause any interference. Who knows?
So cool.
Can we get a Kickstarter campaign to get us to the Hoverboard Park? Is this something we can
do?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm seeing if a guy can get a potato salad, I think we can do this.
I think it can happen. Indeed. Think this works great.
Yes.
It's 14 minutes past midday here on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Technogaze, and there'll be heaps more of that, where that came from.
Technogaze. Download the Joy 94.9 smartphone app today. See joy.org.au.
Now, that's something I haven't done with my new phone yet, is downloaded the app.
Where's that gas?
Josh, have you downloaded the app?
It was the second app I put on my phone.
Oh, you are a loyal fellow. It's 9:15 on Joy 94.9 and this is Technogaze where it's topsy-turvy land. Mr. iPhone user over there, I'm hanging on to this Android and Mark's got a Dell, dude.
I'm sorry.
What is it? Works. What does it all mean?
It's good.
I had my new Mac in today and I'm sitting on my desk. First thing Mark does is come in, picks it up, starts using it. I'm like, get your own, man. He's like, oh, I've only got my Windows one here.
That's all right. It works.
Nerds.
It does
what
the
happens
job.
When you put a whole bunch of nerds into a studio? You get Technogaze.
You get Technogaze. That's exactly right. What's news in Australia?
iiNet. Now, I'm actually a customer of iiNet. I should
disclose that as well, actually.
Yeah. But they have talked about... They're always a fighter for the piracy... Wait, well,
They're on the side of the consumer, I think, is what they're really shooting for.
As opposed to the copyright holders of certain movies and music that gets...
Exactly. So iiNet have gone into bat for us before about copyright claims and, you know, and even doing things like, you know, submissions to the government about the TPP and copyright and all kinds of things.
Yeah, they're advocating an alternative point of view than the corporate...
Yeah, which is really, really quite a relief to see. The latest that they've been up to is that they have been trying to fight a bit of a bid to get some of their customers' details. So the makers of the Dallas Buyers Club...
There's a pre sort of preliminary news story to this, which is Dallas Buyers Club. It was a movie that was released, about a month ago, maybe a bit more. Yeah, I didn't actually get to go see it, but apparently it was really good.
It may have been released here about a month ago, but it's been out for quite a while because I think they're trying to get it in before, you know, Oscar season and stuff.
So there's been over in the US, the movie industry has tried to take people to court to try and, you know, catch them in piracy, and that model has not really worked very well.
To put it lightly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting what they're doing here is Dallas Buyers Club, that specific movie has got its own corporation. And they specifically are going after people who are downloading that movie.
Right. Now, iiNet has received a few unkind letters.
So they're going after Australians too.
Yeah, which is they're picking on Australians.
Something new as well, which hasn't really been done in the past.
Not a great deal. Like sometimes some people have got, you know, emails or letters or whatever, but this time they're actually having a bit of a tilt at iiNet. And iiNet say that they're going to fight it. They say that they don't support or condone copyright infringement, but they've decided not to give the customers details, which is fair enough. I think that
on privacy grounds. Yeah. So, you know, you're a customer of iiNet, you shouldn't just have your details shared just upon a request from another corporation.
Now, it's not the first time that they've done this, obviously. So we've talked about the things that they've done, but one of the things that they did only a couple of years ago is that some media companies, so in the US and Australia as well, tried to force them to put a block on being able to download those things. And the High Court of Australia, which of course is the highest legal authority in the country, short of passing laws in Parliament, or in a different way, rather, said that ISPs are not able to technically prevent users from downloading naughty things.
Right.
So they've already said, well, we can't stop it. And so the companies have gone, well, stop it. Maybe you can't stop it, but surely you can try to tell us.
We'll
and
go
INET
after
has said, nah.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be interesting to see if that develops into anything. They might back off. They might not back off.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a fight. Who knows?
Yeah. It's you don't hear anything from the other big telcos either, like Optus and Telstra. So
not,
does
not,
that mean
not
that they
openly.
Are actually... are the requests going to those big telcos and like, being fulfilled in a way that INET are not?
Like, they may well be. I mean, I don't know. And I think there are other telcos that have actually done that and said no as well. But one of the things about INET that I notice as a customer, again, like you get your newsletters and stuff like that with your bill and all the rest of it, is that they actually talk about it and they make an effort to try and educate their customers on what's going on, which I think is more than can be said for some of the big telcos. They're all like, just shut up and consume your data.
Yeah,
you know,
it's one of those that you know you feel like they're actually looking after the customer a little bit more than
you they're know. Advocating for the customer as opposed to just thinking of them as a customer. As
That's
a,
right.
I guess it's quite nice.
Facebook.
Ah, yes. Ah, this one's amazing. Anonymity. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there was this big rumour sort of scooting around a couple of weeks ago going, oh, Facebook is going to try and have a tilt at, you know, our favourite secret app.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Josh, you want a secret app? We've been trying to get everyone
the first rule of the secret app is not...
Don't confess that you're on the secret app. Of course, Mark Michael and I, the first thing we did when we installed is like, is that you? Did you post that?
When you've only got three other friends that are on the secret app, you tend to know
yeah.
who... Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't put on the new phone.
I've more than three friends, Josh.
I've got 16. It's still pretty easy to figure.
I've got 16 Facebook friends. Yeah, and it is still.
Yeah.
It's new. When I've got about 50 friends using it and they can all go, oh, was that Josh that posted that? I don't know. I'll worry about it then.
Anyway, the rumour was that people at Facebook were going to have a go at that. But what it's not really quite like that at all. Their new app that they're releasing is called Rooms, and it's sort of... it's pseudonymous rather than anonymous.
So isn't it interesting? They're creating this facility where you can log in and join a room.
Yeah.
Which is of a particular interest. You can choose to what your name is in that room as well.
Yes.
And be part of that conversation.
Yeah.
And then disappear or, you know, leave.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's a response to the criticism that they've had around, you know, real names versus fake names.
A little bit, sort of thing. And it's also, I think, an interesting way to get people engaged and talking about content and topics and things like that without necessarily having to have a friend relationship. So you don't, you should be invited by someone who's already in the conversation.
Yep.
That's how that works. But you don't have to necessarily be friends with those people to have those conversations, which I think is interesting because, I mean, I've got some friends on Facebook that I'm really only friends with because they have interesting discussions about topics that I'm interested in.
Yep.
But frankly, I don't feel like seeing all their pictures of their cats, you know what I mean?
Oh, you love the cat pics, don't
okay,
you?
Yeah,
just
I like...
because Mark posts cat pics every day.
Mark doesn't post enough cat pictures. That's what I think.
Probably should post more. I think it's a sign of Facebook actually moving away from their just friends social aspect. There's, you know, they're trying to grow people's relationships with other people to outside of their friend group, right? And that's a new opportunity for Facebook. They're so big at the moment, but you kind of think in terms of what they offer in terms of their functionality, it's quite limited to just you interact with the people that you know, and that's it. So this is a step away from that, and that's interesting.
And it's interesting in that that's already what you do with Twitter with hashtags.
Yes.
It's what you do on Tumblr with tagging as well. So you know you've got like a particular topic that you want to hang on. They've been kind of shooting for that as well. So you can actually use a hashtag now on Facebook, and you've been able to for some time.
Mm.
And everyone's going, "Why are you doing a hashtag? It's not Twitter."
Yeah.
But I think what they're trying to coax people into is you know trying to have those kinds of conversations because they can see how engaging and fun they are elsewhere.
Yep.
And they're like, I want a little bit of that and those eyeballs and that engagement period.
So. Now, you know my theory on hashtags themselves and why are they hashtags and not something else?
Tell me why.
Because IRC, if you're ever an IRC user...
Oh, channels.
The channels were always prefixed with a hashtag.
Interesting.
Never put that together. There you go.
So, and isn't it interesting as well? This anonymity apps, this Facebook app called Rooms, I think is what it's called, right? It kind of feels a lot like IRC.
Yeah.
You can anonymous. You can choose your name. You can talk random crap for a little while and then leave, and that's it. I mean, the only difference here is it's invite only. It's not.
That's right.
It's you can't just turn up in a room and spam the crap out of it and then leave.
Lob some verbal hand grenades.
As was quite often the case on IRC, if I recall. I don't know. IRC still exists, doesn't it? Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it really does.
The hash gay Melbourne group. Still around.
What server?
I was on Ozorg kind of person. Oh. So I don't know if Ozorg. I think AusNet is the only one around in Australia these days. But.
Yeah. Channel 9 had one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, can you believe that?
Wow.
They bought it, like 9MSN bought it off someone else. But yeah, it was interesting. And then they ran it for a little while longer and then, I don't know, they spun it off. Look, that'll be kind of interesting to see. Also on the social media front, so we've been talking a little bit over the last few weeks about Elo, which is kind of got a lot of attention during that whole Facebook kerfuffle about identities.
Yep.
And the problem specifically was that they were targeting people who don't go by their real name for various reasons, be that they're a performer or they're just worried about, you know, outing themselves or whatever. And then it kind of died away. So last week we talked, Michael and I talked about how Elo's search terms or, you know, Google Trends, everyone was searching for Elo a few weeks ago and now no one's searching for Elo.
Yeah.
But venture capitalists are opening their wallets for Elo. $5.5 million.
Wow.
That's a bunch of coins for something that is apparently never going to charge money or run ads.
And one of the criticisms that came out from the recent publicity of Elo was it is another social network site. It's all about making money. So just because they say it's not about the advertising dollar or it's not about you know, monetizing their users, it's actually about allowing, you know, connections with people and that sort of thing.
And they've talked about a few freemium sort of things, like, you know, extra emoticon packs or whatever. But
yeah, well, actually their model that I recall was if you want a new feature, you pay for it.
Right. Which I think is fair enough, because if it's a feature that sort of, you know, gives back to the community as well, well, you know, maybe you'll feel like that is a worthwhile endeavour. I personally don't necessarily feel the need to have certain features on some things, but if I think that lots of others will do it and I want to do something nice for everyone, that's nice.
Yeah.
They signed, they reincorporated over the last couple of days.
That's the news. That's the news bit. So as well as, you know, the $5.5 million, which is a lot, but they've reincorporated. Tell us about it.
So I was looking at, you know, and didn't actually, you know, follow Elo a little bit, but as you said, I lost interest in it when, you know, needing to wait for an invite, all this kind of stuff, still in beta testing.
It's also hideously ugly. I'm just going to put that out there.
What's wrong with the Korean new font, really?
So Elo's stripped down, the notably stripped down ad-free social network announced. This is the ad here. So they've part of it, so in the States, you've different levels of incorporation. So they've come to a public benefit corporation, which means they're solely there for the social media, social gathering side of it, rather than a profit.
That's right. The thing that they're striving for is not so much profit; it's actually for social interaction.
Yeah, that's right. So the way that a public benefit corporation works is rather than being there to make money, like Josh said, you're not accountable as well to your directors to form a profit.
Right.
But you are accountable to your directors or your shareholders or whoever to align with your stated goals, and your stated goals have to be somewhat altruistic.
Right.
And their goals are must never make money from selling ads, must never make money from selling user data, and if they ever sell it, then the new owners have to abide by those rules, and they're very privacy-focused, very freedom-focused.
So they really listened to the criticism that was levelled at them back, you know, a couple of weeks ago around the whole, oh, it's just another social networking site.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people going, oh, you know, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We can't trust what's going to happen. Yeah. Well, this actually enshrines it into their very structure. And there's nothing that says that they won't change their minds in 6 months and go, oh, actually, let's do it the other way. But, you know, that's a pretty big step.
Now that we've got all the users on board, I'm still skeptical about it, but we'll see how they go. As you said, 6 months, 12 months, we'll see what happens with them and where they sit.
I mean, do you remember Plurk.com? Do you remember Plurk.com?
I don't remember, no.
It came out around the same time as Twitter. It was a total competitor, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. Let's get on it. 6 months later, no one was still on it. But I've still got an account on there and people actually use it.
Well, it's one of the things, you know, Facebook's doing it. Facebook's doing a pretty good job at social media. You know, it's one of those.
It's pretty hard to knock them off.
All your friends are in there, you know, as I said, to go across to Elo, it's a whole new thing. It's a whole new group.
They were the right they're the right network at the right time as well. I think that
They were almost the right network. That's the thing. Like the fact that they didn't have enough, you know, money or infrastructure or whatever to allow everybody in and get settled and stuff like that, I think probably helped. Or didn't help, sorry. Like if they were ready to accept people and people were ready to make a new home. But I think as well Facebook saw that and went, we don't want to look like people like that. Not much fun. Hey, it's 28 minutes past midday on Joy right here on Techno Gaze. You're listening to Josh, Mark and Raina, and we'll be right back. It is 28 minutes to one on Joy 94.9's Techno Gaze.
I feel like I should get all patriotic for a moment.
I'm feeling a bit of the old seven-pointed star and bits and pieces.
Yep.
Flying Union kangaroo. Jack. Fighting kangaroo. What is it? Boxing kangaroo. Boxing What's wrong with me?
Emu and...
Terrible patriot. Anyway, here's why.
Australians are
so well. Let's go for this.
All we have Wozniak.
We do. Steve Wozniak is moving to Australia.
Coming to a home among the gum trees? No, wait, that's a really
With
bad
lots
line.
Of plum trees.
good old Stevie's moving to Australia. Why?
So, Steve Wozniak, so co-founder of Apple, the other Steve, so Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak.
Steve Wozniak was he's still a nerd. Like, he's still the true geek. Like, you look at him and you just go, oh,
that guy's an
so
absolute nerd. Look at him.
Delightful.
Yeah, but he is. He's a cuddly, nerdy boy. He's moving to Australia.
Wow.
Co-founder of Apple. So amazing. He's moving to Sydney to work in the University of Technology Sydney's Magic Lab.
What is a magic lab?
Well, it's not really about magic.
It's where they part with invisibility cloaks and stuff like that.
You'd think so. I think Melbourne Uni looks most like Hogwarts out of all of the universities. And I think University of Sydney comes a close second. UTS is that big tower.
Oh, is this one where the Game of Thrones theme song was played as bells?
Are you for real?
You can YouTube that. Pretty sure
as bells,
it was in Sydney.
No, University of Sydney has bells.
Okay, right.
University of Technology Sydney has that big, ugly, modernist tower that is sort of grey and you can see it from miles around.
Okay.
And it's designed to stop riots or something. Like, it's amazing.
So it's a big, ugly tower in Sydney?
It is a hideously ugly tower in Sydney.
Mixed right into the rest of the sky.
Yes.
Did I just... No.
You just offended. Everyone from Sydney's just turned off.
You just sledged Sydney. Bless
Sorry,
you.
Sydney.
Anyway, he's moving to Australia. He's going to go work as an adjunct professor and he'll start in December. And he'll be spending time in the Magic Lab, which is not really about magic. It's got nothing to do with Hogwarts, but it is about innovation and enterprise research.
Nice.
Which is really interesting. And I think it's really cool. And I want to get him signed up for the National Tertiary Education Union. I'm a proud member.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would just love an excuse to go knock on his office door and say, excuse me, got some forms for you?
You need to fill these out.
How's it going, comrade? How cool is that?
Just get the sign here and here and on here, this piece of paper.
It's very modest fees, especially if he's a casual.
Right.
Whatever. So he will be joining the staff at UTS. I think it's really exciting. They had a great announcement that they talked about how proud they were as well. He's already got a bit of a relationship with them anyway.
Right. He's a bit of a traveller, isn't he? I see him on Twitter and he often tweets about which flight he's getting onto and what flight number it is and what time it is.
Oh, he really does.
It's such a nerdy thing to do. It's like, I'm getting on this flight. And it's like some link to some.
It's probably setting his phone up to auto check him in at every airport. I'm at gate 7 and this is where it's going.
Possibly, yeah.
Yes.
Probably got a device that just does that for him on separate. I don't know.
Well, he's going to have so many great devices to play with here. So he already sort of, he has a telepresence device, or they have a telepresence device, which is like, you know, one of those robots on a wheels
yes.
and stuff like that. You know, he calls in on video chat. But they're robots, dudes. Robots. I think that's really cool. And apparently he's, you know, an amazing teacher and, you know, he does a lot to do with education already. But this is the first time that he's decided to accept a role at a university.
Mm.
So good coup for Australia.
Yeah. He must like it here.
He must do. He must do. He's hoping. And who wouldn't?
Should have moved to Melbourne, though. Just saying.
I'm just saying as well. Yeah. I'm just saying. Actually, I don't know. Oh, I'd love to go find... just hang around at the VC of Melbourne and go, knock, knock, hey. Hey, Professor Davis. Gee, are these guys dead, mate? What's going on? Look, that's really exciting. Now, also recent news for Owoz. His Apple One was recently bought at auction for $905,000 by the Ford Museum. They were expecting maybe $500,000.
This, of course, was the first sort of PC that they created at Apple, the Apple One.
Yes, it's sort of, you know, it's got wooden cutout bits and like, you know, a sort of naked looking motherboard.
Basically, you had to build it yourself. Actually,
it's kind of cool.
Because Apple II was when they built the chassis around it as well.
Yeah.
But Apple One was like, you have to come up with the keyboard mount and the case for it and all that sort of thing.
That's right. And you know, the one that was actually sold at some auction didn't have much going on. You know, it was sort of, it had the wood and it had the stuff and it had like, you know, one of those hot, you know, at woodwork class, you used to be able to get like a thin piece of you know, solid wood and sort of, you know, get the hot
glue.
None of those soldering irony sort of thing. Oh. I can't remember what that tool was called. Okay. And it's like cut holes in the wood with it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Totally looks like that.
I never did woodwork.
Tell us a whole bunch of nerds in the office. Like, what are you talking about?
Physical
woodwork.
Changes?
When woodwork was on, I went to the computer room.
Hey, nerds. iOS 8.1 yes. came out. This week.
And I love it.
Right.
I've been waiting for this update forever. In fact, I was waiting so hard for it. hang on a second.
I'm waiting as hard as I can.
That I actually logged on to my developer account the day before because I just wanted it so bad. I had to get the beta just so I could use the handoff feature. I've been waiting for this for so long, the ability to send an SMS from my laptop.
Right.
As if it's my phone and just type away.
Yes, and I've been sort of fiddling around as well. Like, so I placed a call with my iPhone that I had until a few days ago.
Yeah.
Placed that call and all the rest of it, and all the devices that I was ringing for my housemate rang. Amazing.
It's a bit daunting when that happens, well, isn't it?
I was so, you know, I get a lot, being here at Joy and stuff, I get a lot of the, you know, late night, this isn't working calls kind of thing. And I'm in bed, it's 10:30 on a Friday night, you know.
Sad. Settling in. Yeah.
And my laptop starts ringing. Now, my phone's always on silent, you know, and I'm like, whoa, wait.
No. What does it all mean?
Hello? Especially when you have like multiple computers around you as well, or devices. Yep. Even your iPads can work and do this.
My Pebble's ringing on the counter because it's on charge. My iPad's ringing because it's on charge. My laptop's ringing, and then my phone rang, and I'm kind of like, "Whoa!
Which one do I choose? All of them at once?"
Yeah, that's so really cool.
Which was really cool, but yeah,
the SMS thing is pretty new though. And it just sort of politely asked me the other day, it's like, oh, would you like to start seeing your SMSs on your screen? I'm like, yes, I would. Thank you very much.
I wouldn't say no to that. Yeah, it took a bit of setting up in the first place, but once it was there, it was like, everything just works. It's just...
It is.
It was nice.
Yeah, and you could always do iMessage from your Mac computer.
That's exactly right. And you could even receive and send iMessages that purportedly from your phone number through the iMessage service on your computer as well.
Yeah, but it wasn't really. You didn't.
But for your Android-using friends who don't have iMessage, or indeed, you know, if you're using Windows Phone or something, who are you? First of all, how dare you? Who is actually buying Windows phones? Anyway, they don't have iMessage either. Well, so if you know people who have one, they're probably just sending you SMSs so you wouldn't have seen it come up on your computer. So this is finally happening for the rest of us.
Yeah.
A lot of Android users were like, oh, the biggest whoops, guys, because they already have apps that allow them to sort of sync on their PC and stuff. But ho-hum, this is way cooler.
So that feature is the SMS relay feature.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
There's also Apple Pay was introduced as part of iOS 8.1.
Yes,
in
that
the
is
US.
The contactless payment method that is built right into a special bit of hardware in the phone.
Specifically for the iPhone 6 as well.
Specifically the iPhone 6. So only some retailers have support for that at the moment. Americans are really excited because they've only just discovered that you can actually put a chip in a credit card lately.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a little bit behind the rest of us. Like, we've already got PayWave and stuff over here. So for us, it won't be a big change. For them, it's like, oh, you guys, I held my phone up to the payment thing and it charged my account. It's like, wow.
I had a friend call me from the States to go, oh my God, I just used PayWave and it was amazing. And, you know, the FaceTime, I'm like, cool, I've had it for, you know, probably about 12 months now. But, you know, we've got it, but it'd still be nice just to have that Apple here with the one-touch phone.
Yep.
Touch on, right. You don't have to carry four or five. You know, I hate carrying a wallet when I'm going out.
Yeah.
I can just carry my phone.
My biggest problem at the moment is actually around the number of proximity cards I've got in my wallet, including the credit cards, right? You put your wallet up to a Mikey reader, for example. It takes just that little bit too long to respond because it's trying to figure out which card is
the
Mikey card.
Yeah, and the Mikey reader always hates having extra cards anyway.
Yeah.
I hold my touch card for work.
Yeah.
and you know, in the back of my phone or with my Mikey, and sometimes I've tried it, and it's like, multiple card detectors. Well, thanks, Mikey.
Yeah.
My door knows how to open with multiple cards, but oh well.
We've just got Mikey gates at work, and we'll call them the Mikey gates because they work as well as them. You know, so you, if everything, I've got my work passes, which has got the Mikey card on one side and the work card on the other one, and you go up to Mikey, and it says multiple cards detected. You go up to these gates at work, and it says multiple cards detected. So now I've got, you've got two things you've got to carry separately, which, you know, first world problem.
One day, I'm hoping that everything will converge into one device.
So you're probably against this, but I'm happy to have a chip put in my arm. Just wave. This is me. Let's keep going.
Well, you know, talk to John Oxer. He's done this. Right. He knows how to do this. I don't know if he found any doctor who was happy to do it for him. He had to do it himself, but...
Hey.
You know,
I'm happy to try it.
Zoe Quinn, the game developer, she's been in the news recently for some not fun things, but she's actually got a chip in her body as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Look, can you trust it? Did your friend get double charged?
He didn't, but as you were saying earlier today, there's a lot of people that actually have been getting double charged.
Mm. Yes, so some Bank of America folks or customers say that they were billed twice for every Apple Pay purchase that they made, which is probably... So the way that Apple Pay works as well, it's not like it's pretending to be your credit card. It is a unique thing, and then the Apple Pay service contacts your bank and gets that out of there, right?
Yep.
So obviously the service is going wrong somewhere, although apparently it's not going wrong for any other bank, and Bank of America says, oh, it's Apple's fault. There's going to be a fix coming out soon, I think. So it'll be available pretty shortly.
It's something you could lose a lot of customers over if you know, so they'd be
good,
working on it.
And that, I mean, that's something that PayWave categorically and the MasterCard one, PayPass, also categorically can't do. It is not possible for them to double charge.
Right.
And it's not possible for them to, you know, have like a card signal hanging around for the next transaction or anything. The actual machine can't work that way and neither can the service. So.
Yep.
But isn't it a bit of a shift for Apple to become a financial sort of middle person?
But yeah. that's part of their thing, right? Like, you know, obviously they want to be in everyone's pocket or in everyone's desk or whatever like that. And the way to stay in people's pocket is to get people to buy in.
Mm.
Right now, Google's been trying to do this with the Google Wallet as well, with a lot of Android phones have the NFC and stuff like that. And like, Or, you know, with the Google Wallet, you know, you can just sort of pay through the wallet, not through... any sort of near field communication thing.
Yep.
PayPal last week. I tried to get into my favourite coffee shop a couple of weeks ago and it was absolutely jammed with rubes, and I'll tell you why.
Hmm.
PayPal were charging like 1 cent for coffee.
1 cent coffee, yeah.
What?
So it was
to get people onto PayPal.
One day only event. Yeah. Or might have been 2 days.
I think it depends on where you were. I think some of the retailers are going, guys, you can only do this for one day because we're sick of having 60 people in our...
So I was actually talking to one of the cafe owners near work, and so PayPal were picking up the tab.
Right.
Yeah.
So you pay 1 cent through your PayPal account.
Then they pay the rest.
That 1 cent went to PayPal and they picked up the rest.
And there were people in PayPal, like, I don't know if they were promoters or actually from PayPal or whatever, but, you know, they're wearing PayPal polos and stuff like that, you know, sort of explaining to people, going, oh, yeah, I'll help you get PayPal set up on your phone, blah, blah, blah.
It's a good tactic because it gives you confidence in transaction. And that's one of the things with financial, you know,
confidence is kind of important.
Yeah.
Yet we worry about our money. Look, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Apple Pay, if it'll get inroads here, etc. So that'll be something to keep an eye out for. Hey, it's 16 minutes to one here on Joy, and there'll be even more of this great tech news right after this.
Technogiz.
Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
Yes, the Joy smartphone app. You can get it for all kinds of things. You can get it for your iPhone, Josh.
And it's free.
And it's free. You can get it for the Android. I should do that.
Mm-hmm.
I only got it yesterday. I've still got to fill it up with goodies. It is Technogaze.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking tech.
Yes.
And there's been all kinds of tech news this week.
Yep.
Now, internet addiction is something that we talked about a little bit the other day on the show. About there was a US serviceman who checked into rehab for the US Navy.
Right.
To kick his alcohol addiction, but he also had a bit of a Google Glass addiction.
Really?
Amazing. And so, you know, when you go into rehab...
Is that even a classifiable thing? Like,
it is. So in the newest version of the diagnostic manual that psychiatrists use, which is the DSM-5, you know, it's got all the different sort of, you know, disorders and ailments and things like that that relate to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is an internet addiction disorder. So it sort of describes, you know, all the criteria for addiction as it relates to not having your gadgets on you. And this guy who checked in, he checked in for alcohol addiction. When they do that, it's like, you know, give up your phone and all the rest of it. He had to give up his Google Glass. And this guy, right, was so, we don't know his name or anything because, you know, it's probably not ethical for them to have reported it. So no one mentioned this guy's name.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was touching the side of his head the way that you would if you were trying to switch on your Google Glass. And he was looking in the corner and, you know, having dreams about having his Google Glass on and all sorts of stuff.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if I'm no psychologist, but I suspect that there's people who, and the story here is around an addiction to the internet means there's possibly it's an indicator of an addiction to other things or the ability to be addicted to multiple things.
That's
not just
right.
One.
So down in Hobart, there is actually a director of a genuine medical doctor, which again, I'm not one either, obviously. But Dr. Michael Davey, who's the director of the Hobart Clinic Association, deals with patients who are showing signs of being addicted to the internet and their devices, and he was talking to the national broadcaster about a few different things to do with that, and it was a really interesting read.
So online gaming is another thing that people often are considered to be addicted to, and it's a pretty prevalent thing as well because there's such a, you know, youth culture in particular, not just youth, but
right. But like, you know, if you've got a bit of a thing about, you know, if you've got a gambling issue, for example, then going online might be the way that you express that. And then, you know, you sort of get this kind of addictive behaviour around that it's associated with this other underlying issue. And he also made the point that sometimes there's, you know, OCD, there's depression, there's other things that are going on that might sort of, might turn to the
it's computer. Almost like you're predisposed to addiction in general. Like you're sort of...
or maybe there are some other disorders.
It's quite easy for your brain to just become addicted to something, and maybe that's
yeah.
That's
and when he mentioned the games, that's actually one of the things that that Dr. Davey talked about. So he said, well, you know, it's you'd think it would be social media, like everyone's sort of, you know, looking at the tweets and wah-wah-wah, and, you know, especially, you know, if Michael was here, I'm sure he'd tell us about his teenage girls or often being on the phone or whatever. but Dr. Davey said it's mostly the games that seem to be coming up more, and it's the ones that don't seem to have an ending. So it's, you know, Candy Crush, Farmville, you know, those sorts of games.
The ones that are actually built to feed an addiction, or not necessarily an addiction. I wouldn't want to cast that upon them, but they actually, you know, design these games to be, you know, to make you want to come back for more.
Yeah, of course, and that's how they make the money,
you see,
right?
You see that with push notifications and stuff, and, you know, I've Candy Crush on my phone, and, you know, every 20 minutes it's like, hey, you haven't played me for a while. Well, where are you, man? Come back.
Yeah, and, you know, they want to do that because they want to get their ads in front of you, or they want you to buy a special, you know, like you premium bucks or whatever, like Kim Kardashian stars or whatever. Now, Dr. Davey also says that internet addiction changes the brain in a similar way to other addictions, and so accordingly the treatment can often be the same as well.
Right.
So the way that they help people with a bit of an internet addiction is to check them into hospital, take away all their devices.
Need to be unplugged.
Have a bit of a detox. And says that some young people have never actually had a life without a device, and that it can be quite a big thing for them.
Yeah.
Maybe some patients are, maybe, you know, it works a bit better for them than others. Who knows?
Well, talking about that, you know, we're growing up now in that age where people are born with a device on their phone. I've got a 4-year-old.
Right.
Cousin that has an iPhone already, or an iPad already. And you're like, wow, well, when I was your age, I was outside on the grass eating dirt.
Yeah.
It's probably why I'm here now. But, so, you know, we through, you know,
it's
a
quite
younger generation, they're growing up with devices. This is life, you know.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily. I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad thing necessarily.
No,
I don't know anything about, you know, child psychology again, but it's just something different.
It is.
Now, if you're interested in learning more about internet addiction, if you get on the Better Health channel, which is at betterhealth.vic.gov.au, and search for internet addiction, there's a good fact sheet about that there. And if you're ever struggling, you should always call Lifeline 131114 or talk to your GP. So if you think that you might be struggling there, those are some good resources. And responsiblegambling.vic.gov.au as well, for those of us in Victoria. Check it out.
Indeed.
On a somewhat less full-on note.
Yes.
Samsung.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Samsung has been in the news this week, a major manufacturer of Android phones, and it hasn't necessarily been very good.
No. So they've got this thing called Knox, is it? Like the security software?
Yes. They've been banging on about this for some months, old Knox.
Mm-hmm.
like as in Fort Knox.
Right.
And if you're a government worker, then you probably know, or, you know, a lot of companies do this as well, but particularly for government workers, you probably know that there are certain things that you're allowed to keep on your phone and there are things that you're not allowed to keep on your phone. And maybe if you would like to have a work phone that is secure enough, then work will issue you with one. Mm-hmm. And if you are one of those people, then 88% of you probably have an iPhone, because that's the figures. Because the iPhone has quite a lot of security and enterprise-related deployment stuff on it. Samsung says, we'd like a piece of that pie.
Yes.
Delicious pie. And 90% on tablets as well. So their higher-end Galaxy phones have this thing on it now called Knox.
Right.
And it's kind of like a sandbox. So you can put things in the Knox environment that aren't accessible from other Android apps. Because one of the characteristics of Android is that there isn't a lot of inter-app security.
Yep, yep.
The iPhone is sandboxed by design.
Yep, yep.
And Samsung's like, well, we can help with that. We'll make you a little patch of turf and you can put things in it and you can get in with an amazing password. And if you forget your password, then you can enter the PIN that you set up when you got your phone and we'll give you a password hint.
Well, so this is what's brought them into trouble though, isn't it?
Yes. So it turns out that they keep that PIN number, I guess it's four digits, in an XML file somewhere on the device, cunningly named pin.xml.
Thank you. The way I say that is, here's the Ferrari. Hey, look, the keys are sitting on the
keys are somewhere.
Yeah, the keys are somewhere on
they're
the car.
They're in the box marked keys.
Right,
in the garage.
There's an envelope sitting underneath the windscreen wiper that says, here is a clue for where I hit the keys.
And there's a big kind of neon sign on top of the car pointing to keys here.
Right, and the nature of the hint, which is that it tells you the password's first and last letter and the number of letters in the password. So if you can imagine that the clue was kind of like, it's in the G something 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 E.
Yes. You just jump onto any of those lovely apps that help you with the, you know, Words with Friends and stuff and go, look, it's beginning with G and ends in E and it's six letters. Let's...
Yep. Yep.
Fun.
Yeah, it's not very good.
So are they fixing it?
I guess so. So it was only announced quite recently. It's kind of a dodgy compromise. So if you can have a pretty good guess about the password, I think that's pretty shonky. The other thing as well is that the password itself is encrypted using two interesting little items. One of those is a hard-coded string that is embedded somewhere in the program, and the other bit is a portion of the Android ID serial, which is something that you can get out of the phone any old time. And then you combine them, and then you encrypt the password with these two easily findable things.
So as well as the neon sign on top of the car, there's a weather balloon above it that says, hey, free Ferrari down here.
Yeah, or kind of like, you know, like a photocopy of the key that you made back at work that you blew up and like sticky taped to the side of your garage.
This sounds like the first app that I ever wrote around that implemented any type of encryption. It's like I just coded in the salt or whatever you're supposed to use when you do encrypted apps and put it into the app because I couldn't be bothered figuring out how to securely store it.
Right.
It's like it's almost like it's been designed by someone who's doing security for the first time.
Right. And if you read the article that the person, the researcher, I don't think they really gave their name, so they're a bit shadowy, but they talk about what they did. And it's like, you know, they put it in a jar file, which is inside another kind of file, which is, you know, it's like going down lots of different subroutines until finally you get
security,
you know,
through obscurity, right?
You finally dig through some functions. It's like, oh, here it is. Oh, good work, you guys. Now, that's what they want to deploy in all of their high-earning phones like the Galaxy. And then they've contributed it to Lollipop as well. So now we all get the benefit of that.
I think after a mistake like that, they won't be entering the company market anytime too soon.
Well, he's seeing. It is 5 minutes to one here on Joy. We're almost out of time, but there are a few tiny little tech tidbits right after this.
Technogaze.
It's amazing. It's 3 minutes to one here on Joy 94.9. And Technogaze, we're winding up. We are indeed. For another week. It's been a huge week for technology, but one of the hugest bits of news, I think, if you're one of the most famous ladies in the world.
Yes. The Queen. Queen Elizabeth II.
I think we should be playing some sort of British Empire theme song, you know, behind this.
She sent her first tweet. She sent her first tweet just yesterday from the British Monarchy account, which is the official account for the household.
And she's actually, there's a photo of her apparently
doing the tweet.
It's on this, I don't know if it's an iPad or something mounted on this podium style thing, and she's there typing away.
Yeah, so what she was doing is she was opening the Science Museum of the UK. Their Information Age exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, she wrote the following tweet. It is a pleasure to open the Information Age exhibition today at the Science Museum, and I hope people will enjoy visiting Elizabeth R.
Elizabeth R.
Aww, thanks, Betty.
Bless.
There was a great picture over there. The account then immediately followed that up, saying that was totally her first tweet, hashtag the Queen Tweets. Now, see if
you imagine where that hashtag's going to go? Like, how many people are going to start?
Actually, one of the things that I saw was straight away, like, some, you know, Gamergate, which is that big gaming fight that people are having at the moment, somebody modified a screenshot to say, actually, it's about gaming journalism. Elizabeth R. Which I thought was pretty funny. And if you're wondering what took her so long, you might actually be surprised to find that she was one of the very first British civilians,
yes.
I guess, not in the military, yep. although she's a commander of some sort, to send an email.
Yep. Back in 1979, no
less. Amazing. That's huge. Hey, we have run out of time. It is 1 minute to one.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Josh. And and welcome back, Mark, for the week.
I thought it'd be nice to pop in. Thanks for having
me. Oh, that's really sweet. And I'm Raina, of course. It's been another massive week, and it's been such a pleasure to spend it with you. Cravings up next here on Joy 94.9.
Catch you later.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.